So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Rahugana converse with Jadabharata, text number 8. Chalankvachit kantakashar karangrir.
Chalankvachit kantakashar karangrir.
Nagarurukshur vimanai vaste.
Nagarurukshur vimanai vaste.
Pade pade byantara vahni nadrita.
Pare pare dhyanatavadhina vrita
Katambika krudhyati vai janaya
Katambika krudhyati vai janaya
Chalan
Wandering
Kvachit
Sometimes
Kantakasharkara
Pierced by thorns and small stones
Angrihi,
whose feet?
Naga,
the hills.
Arurukshuhu,
one desiring to climb.
Vimanaha,
disappointed.
Eva,
like.
Aste,
becomes.
Pade, pade.
Step by step.
Abhyantara.
Within the abdomen.
Vahnina.
By the strong fire of appetite.
Arditaha.
Being fatigued
and aggrieved.
Kautumbikaha.
A person living with his family members.
Krudyati
becomes angry.
Why?
Certainly.
Janaya
at the family members. Translations by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the merchant in the forest wants to climb the hills and mountains, but due to insufficient footwear, his feet are pricked by small stone fragments and by thorns on the mountain. Being pricked by them, he becomes very aggrieved. Sometimes a person who is very attached to his family becomes overwhelmed with hunger, and due to his miserable condition, he becomes furious with his family members. Purport. The ambitious conditioned soul wants to be very happy in this material world with his family, but he is compared to a traveler in the forest who desires to climb a hill full of thorns and small stones. As stated in the previous verse, the happiness derived from society, friendship and love is like a drop of water in the scorching heat of the desert. One may want to become very great and powerful in society, but this is like attempting to climb a hill full of thorns. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur compares one's family to high mountains. Becoming happy in their association is like hungry man's endeavoring to climb a mountain full of thorns. Almost 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life, despite all the attempts being made to satisfy their family members. In the Western countries, due to the dissatisfaction of the family members, there is actually no family life. There are many cases of divorce, and out of dissatisfaction, the children leave the protection of their parents. Especially in this age of Kali, family life is being reduced. Everyone is becoming self-centered, because that is the law of nature. Even if one has sufficient money to maintain family, the situation is such that no one is happy in family life. Consequently, according to the Varnashrama institution, one has to retire from family life in middle age. Panchasauditavam vanam vrajet. One should voluntarily retire from family life at the age of 50 and go to Vrindavana or a forest. It is recommended by Srila Prahlada Maharaja that sadhu manye suravarya dahinam sada samudvigna dhiyam asad graha hitvatma padam grihamanda kupam vanam gatoya dhari mashrayata. There is no benefit in transferring from one forest to another. One must go to Vrindavan forest and take shelter of Govinda. That will make one happy. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is therefore constructing a Krishna Balaram temple to invite its members as well as all outsiders to come and live peacefully in a spiritual atmosphere. That will help one become elevated to the transcendental world and return home back to Godhead. Another sentence in this verse is very significant. Kautumbikaha krudyanti vajanaya. When one's mind is disturbed in so many ways, he satisfies himself by becoming angry with his poor wife and children. The wife and children are naturally dependent on the father, but the father, being unable to maintain the family properly, becomes mentally distressed and therefore chastises his family members unnecessarily. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Achinnadaradravina yasyanti giri kananam. Being disgusted with family life, one separates from the family by divorce or some other means. If one has to separate anyway, why not separate willingly? Systematic separation is better than forced separation. Forced separation cannot make anyone happy, but by mutual consent or by the Vedic arrangement, one must separate from his family affairs at a certain age and fully depend on Krishna. This makes one's life successful. Chavan kvachit kandaka sarkanangrir Nagaro rukshur vimane vaste pade pade bhyantara vahninarditaha kautumbika krudyati vajanaya. Sometimes the merchant in the forest wants to climb the hills and mountains, but due to insufficient footwear, his feet are pricked by the small stone fragments and by thorns on the mountain. Being pricked by them, he becomes very aggrieved. Sometimes a person who is very attached to his family becomes overwhelmed with hunger, and due to his miserable condition, he becomes furious with his family members. So first of all, I would like to beg for blessings for all those senior devotees who are here to allow me to speak, especially Trivikram Maharaj. It's very impudent to speak in front of the seniors, but with their blessings I will try. So, in this chapter, Jada Bharata is explaining the forest of material enjoyment, and basically he reminds everyone the price which one has to pay. In the beginning he gives this comparison, and he says that the poor conditioned soul going to this forest of material world is like a merchant. But poor merchant. And he wants to go and earn some money. He is very industrious and he goes to the forest and he tries to get something which he will be able later to sell. And basically, Jada Bharata says that the conditioned soul, which is poor, and therefore wants to earn some little money of sense enjoyment, goes to this forest of material world with the hope to be happy. The main mistake and the principal mistake which one makes is this initial hope. And here, very mercilessly, Jada Bharata reminds us that there is no happiness, that this hope will ultimately be frustrated. That ultimately there is no happiness in this material world, and even though we try and try and try, no matter how hard we try, it's not going to work. And this is such a thing which nobody wants to hear. People so mad because they want material enjoyment, because they are born with this ardent desire to enjoy this material world, they don't want to hear. And everyone has the hope. Everyone has the hope that ultimately I will become happy. I'm not happy now. You know, if you noticed, when we are young, when we are little children, we think, we are not happy now, but when we will become little grown up, then, you know, these adults, they enjoy, and we will enjoy. And you become adults, and you don't enjoy. And you hope, maybe when I will earn some money, I will enjoy. And then you earn some money, you don't enjoy. And then you think, maybe when I retire, I will enjoy. And then you retire and you don't enjoy. And then you think, maybe when I'm 100 years old, I will enjoy. It's going on and on and on. And everyone has this hope. And no matter how many times this hope is frustrated, because the desire is still stronger. Because the desire in the heart to enjoy is still stronger. One still wants to enjoy, and the hope is there. The hope is persistent. It's actually, Shukadev Goswami explains in the... Shukadev Goswami explains in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that this is the effect of present time. Actually, this desire to enjoy, no matter what, this desire, especially when one is so crazy, so mad to enjoy, he doesn't really want to hear about the consequences. Why we don't like to hear all these descriptions? Because here, again, Jada Bharata reminds us that there is a price to pay. That for all the enjoyments which we have, and there is no doubt about it, there is enjoyment in this material world. It may be like a drop of water in the desert, but still there is enjoyment. But Jada Bharata reminds us there is a heavy price to pay for this. And we don't want to hear this, because usually when we are mad to enjoy now, we don't want to hear about the future payment, the future sufferings. And Shukadev Goswami explains that this is the effect of time. He says that there is three phases of time, past, present and future. And the three psychological effects of these phases of time are Shoka, Moha and Bhaya. You know, when it comes to past, when we think about the past, we usually lament. It's called Shoka. You know, we think, you know, it was so nice when I was young and I'm old. You know, and it was so nice when I had this and I lost it. So when we think about the past, usually we lament, because this is the effect of time. The time is taking away something from us. The effect of the present is moha, and moha means bewilderment. And bewilderment means you don't want to know what's going to happen. You are so obsessed with this desire to enjoy now, right away, in this very moment of time, then you forget about everything. And then future is bhaya. When we think about future, we become disturbed, because we don't know what's going to happen, you know. We go to astrologer and we ask, dear astrologer, please tell us how many more years I'm to live here, or what's going to be with me in 10 years, or in 5 years, or tomorrow. So this is the three effects of time which are inevitable, and which basically means everyone unhappy. Because whether it's past or present or future, you're either lamenting about the past which you have lost, or you're bewildered about the present and you don't know what you're doing, and you don't know what the consequences will be, and you're so crazy that you're doing stupid possible mistakes. Or you are afraid and paranoid about the future, and you don't know what's going to be with you. So that's how it is. Therefore, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that in the spiritual world there is only present, and everyone is totally bewildered with love of Krishna. This is the bewilderment of the spiritual world, the yoga maya. So this in itself, this law of material time, makes everyone miserable in this material world. And therefore, basically, this all unfortunate events unfold in our lives. And, of course, nobody likes to hear these things. You know, nobody likes to hear how family life is not nice and how ultimately one has to climb over the big mountains and the thorns will prick his feet. This is not something which is very pleasant. But Prabhupada, he is not really compromising on this point. You know, Prabhupada, he is quite merciless. He is uncompromising in this. Some other people, and there is a common phenomenon in any religion, basically, that religion becomes compromised. Religion becomes compromised on this very point. It's actually very interesting why Prabhupada and all our acharyas are so uncompromising. It's coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and it's coming from this ideal which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. And the ideal is pure devotional service, and not 1% less than pure devotional service. The ideal is that we should know what pure bhakti is, because this is the real happiness. Whereas when people are not so clear about this, are not so clear about the goal, like Rupa Goswami from the very beginning of the Nectar Devotion, he very clearly sets the goal, that the goal is nothing but pure devotional service. Everything else, everything which is less, is not the goal. Ahaitukya pratihata, and has to be completely selfless, which is difficult to swallow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains what is cheating religion. He gives a very beautiful explanation what cheating religion as opposed to pure religion. He says the only pure religion is Vaishnava Dharma. Why? The reason is because there is a very clear-cut distinction between karma, jnana, and bhakti. And if there is clear-cut distinction between these three categories and vairagya, if you have very clear understanding what is what, then it's pure religion. If the religion does not give you this pure understanding, this very clear understanding of what is bhakti, what is jnana, what is karma, then there is every chance to mix it. And then you mix little karma in your bhakti and little jnana in your bhakti, and you think that you will be happy in this way. Actually, everyone likes to mix something. This is the nature of material life. You know, when we go to cook, what cooking means mixing something. You know, you put this and this and this, and you wonder what's going to happen. And so the material life is like this. You mix little bit of this, little bit of this, and you think that the happiness is just mixing. So we are now, psychology also tend to mix. And the main point of mixture is that we're mixing karma, we're mixing jnana, we're mixing bhakti, and we think that by mixing them, you know, by pure bhakti, one cannot be happy. But if we add little karma there and little jnana, then it will be nice. Nice combination. But Prabhupada, following the footsteps of our acharyas, he says very clearly, this is karma, this is jnana, this is bhakti, and karma and jnana stink. And only bhakti you should go after. Everything else is just bad. You will not be happy just by mixing it. No way. But still we want to mix. Still we want to somehow or other compromise with these points, and we want to add a little bit of this, you know, material happiness to this or whatever. So, and Prabhupada, he was very adamant on these points, because he's acharya, he's repeating the words of previous acharyas. Like, people don't want to hear this. Like, here Srila Prabhupada says 99.9% people are not happy in family life. And we don't want to hear this, because we think, yes, maybe I am not happy, but somebody must be happy. Prabhupada says 99.9%. And that means 100%, basically. It's just he gives a little benefit of doubt. And maybe, you know, 0.1% is happy, but basically everyone is unhappy. You know, like in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, he says 99.9% of this world is Naradhama, lowest of men. People don't want to hear this too. Like in Russia, there is one famous anti-cult person, and he, when it comes for him to fight or to argue against Hare Krishna, he usually quotes this quote from Prabhupada. He says, look, he's a hater. He hates everyone. He says, 99.9% is Naradama, lowest of men. And only these Hare Krishnas are, you know, 0.1% of the humanity. And he just gives a realistic assertion, because everyone is low. Everyone is lowest of men. And we are included. It's not that we are some exception in a sense. And people don't like to hear this. Once one Indian man came to Prabhupada. He's a respectable, rich person. And then at one point in the conversation, he asked Prabhupada, "Why do you call us rascals?" Because Prabhupada was quite uncompromising on this point too. You know, he would say, "You rascals, rascals, rascals." So this man asked, "Why do you call us rascals?" And Prabhupada, he became very humble. He folded his hands and he said, "I don't call you rascals. Krishna calls you rascals." Because Krishna says, "Ava Jananti Mamudha, Namam Duskriti Namudha." I'm just repeating. He says, "Don't be angry with the delivery boy." I just came to deliver the message. So Prabhupada, he repeats, and he repeats, and he knows why he repeats this, because we are rascals. And even though we don't want to hear this, it's ultimately healthy for us to hear about this. It's ultimately it gives a special pleasure. Because it gives us hope, the real hope. When we hear all these things, initial reaction is that we want to reject it. Initial reaction is that we don't really want to, you know, kind of relate to this or associate or lose the hope for material happiness. But ultimately, it gives some pleasure because it gives us the, you know, the real understanding that we shouldn't seek for happiness, search for happiness, but happiness does not really exist. Like Radhanath Maharaj told me a very interesting story which happened to him. He once came to one American temple. It was a Sunday feast crowd. There was a lot of Indians and different people, you know, typical Sunday feast crowd. And somehow or other he picked up for the topic of his Sunday feast lecture, which is also not unusual in ISKCON temples. He picked up the topic of Durlabha Manava Janme, Labhya Samsari, the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is just, you know, lamenting about the rare chance which we get and we lose. Real chance of human life, which we lose and waste. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very strong words. He says, "What is the use in my life? The whole my life I was trying to accumulate money. What's going to happen with this money when I die? My body will be thrown in the beach, and the stray dogs will come and feast on my body. And they will just torn it apart and they will howl in ecstasy." And he says that, you know, all this kind of nice stuff. And, you know, and when I'm old, you know, I'm hoping that my family members and sons and daughters will bring me happiness. Where is this happiness? You know, when I'm old, who will give me happiness? Because I will be sick and I will be, you know, and, you know, all these nice things are there in this song. So, and he sang the song and he read the translation. He just read the translation. And one man from the audience, he stormed out from the temple. He just slammed the door. And then, you know, Badri Narayan was there. The local GBC was there. And the local GBC, you know, and he said to him that, "I don't want to have anything to do with you guys anymore. You guys are just, you know, you just fanatics. Your renunciates always denigrate household people, household life. I do not want to have anything to do with you anymore." So when Radhanath Maharaj finished his lecture, this local GBC came to him and said, "What did you do? This is our biggest donor and sponsor. He is the richest man in the community. And you scared him away. You burned him. What did you do?" Radhanath Maharaj said, I'm sorry, I didn't want, I came to serve your community. I didn't want to destroy your preaching. You know, please don't be angry with me. And, you know, he was told, please, somehow or other, correct this. You know, you have to correct this. And this man, he was so angry. He was enraged. So Radha Maharaj wrote him a nice letter. He was explained something to him. Anyway, and he was very sorry that he did this. He didn't really want this. It's just, you know, basically he didn't even say anything. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He just read the translation. The reaction was... And then the temple president in this particular temple said to him, when he said, I'm sorry that I did this to you, and he said to him, please don't be sorry. My prediction is that actually you just stirred up the heart of this man. And ultimately he will understand something. And next time when you come, I'm sure he will ask you for initiation. That's the temple president prediction was. I said, I wrote a letter to this man and I kind of forgot about this incident. So next time when I came to the same city, the first man whom I saw in the airport was this man with all his family members. He took me to his mansion and he, you know, washed my feet with the golden bowl. And he begged me to give him initiation. That's what it is, because ultimately, even though the first initial psychological reaction is that we don't want to hear this, but ultimately if we're bold enough and courageous enough to hear this, we know this is the truth. Deep inside the heart, we know this is the truth. And we know this is not the place where we have to seek for happiness. The happiness is somewhere else. And someone who says this to us, who says all this, not very nice things to us, it's actually our best friend. Because he says that, Prabhupada says here, that you're searching for happiness, and Jat Bharat is saying here, you're searching for happiness in a place where there is no happiness. Why should you do this? Why should you waste your time by trying to search happiness when there is no happiness? There is no even hope for happiness. Why don't you go the place where happiness really exists? So this is the point that, you know, Prabhupada beautifully explains all these complicated situations. And the purport to this particular verse, Jada Bharata himself will explain that these big mountains which one has to climb over in the family life is the different ceremonies which one has to do to maintain his status. Because if you are Indian, you know, to marry your daughter or to marry your son, it's just a mountain to climb over. You have to spend whatever you collected through your life, you have to spend just within one day for the marriage ceremony of your daughter or your son. People, they work hard and hard and hard just to maintain the social status. Because unless you do it, you are outcast. You are not really accepted as a member of the civilized society. In other words, there is such a heavy social pressure. When we leave, you know, if we consider deep down in our heart, we don't need much. But usually, when we, you know, there is a heavy social pressure that we have to be up to the standard. If we live in the society, our house has to be a little bigger than the house of our neighbor. Or at least our car has to be better, you know. It has to be. If it's not, we kind of lose our dignity and we lose our, you know, status or standing in the society. And this heavy social pressure is that what basically pushes one to climb over these mountains. We have to, you know, go and go and go. And there are so many pricks, you know. There are so many different pebbles and thorns and... while we're climbing over these mountains. That's social life, and social life means family life, and that's what it is. Those people who don't want to have social life, they renounce this world and they go to the forest. And then besides that, despite of all the endeavors, despite of whatever you do, you will never be able to satisfy your family members. Everyone knows this, you know. No matter how hard you try, no matter, you know, you try and try and try and try, it just doesn't work. And because you try so hard and nobody is satisfied, you become angry. You become furious and you yell at your wife and you yell at your children and, you know, everyone is in this psychological condition. It is actually said, Prabhupada explains very beautifully that how poor women and children are unprotected in family life. Not because man doesn't want to give them protection, he wants, but because the condition of this material world is so heavy, he feels that he doesn't fit the bill, that he just doesn't really do what he's supposed to do, and therefore he gets angry and yells at them. Because he cannot satisfy them properly, he yells at them even more. It is said there is a statistics nowadays that 90% of all the divorces are being done on the initiative of women, because they just cannot tolerate it anymore, they just cannot stand it anymore. And that's what's going on, and Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga, everyone is so self-centered. And basically because of this, the whole family life, the whole family structure falls apart. And because of this, nobody is happy. And therefore Prabhupada says, everyone divorces, so, you know, if you want to divorce, why not go to the forest and just renounce the family life immediately? You know, he said, if you're anyway going to be divorced, why not go to Vrindavan and take sannyas? You know, that's the advice, which we do not want to hear. But ultimately, what it gives us, and the real meaning of all these verses, is that it reminds us what is the real happiness in life. Actually, this is the question which Yamaraj asked Maharaj Yudhishthira. We know that there is this story about the Arani wood in Mahabharata. And Yamaraj wanted to test Maharaj Yudhishthira and his wisdom. And he asked so many questions. And he asked many, many questions about different subject matters. And finally he said, now I'm asking you four last questions. And if you answer these four last questions, I will revive your brothers and I will let you drink this water. And these four last questions are the most important. And the four last questions is Kachavarta, what is the news in this world? And Kimashcharyam, what is the most amazing thing in this world? And Kaha Pantaha, what is the path in this world? And Kaha Modati, who is happy in this world? He asked these four most important questions. What is the most amazing thing? What is the news in this world? How to find the path? How to find the real way in this world? And who is happy? And Maharaj Yudhishthira, he answers these four questions. And he knows this is the main test for him. So the first question is very difficult, you know, what is the news in this world? And
what is the news?
What is the news? Kavarta, kachavarta, what is the news? And you know, we know so many news are there. You open newspaper, this news and that news, you know, Bill Clinton and, you know, Jimmy Carter and whoever was there, you know, the, who is now? Bush, oh yeah, Bush, George Bush. And Jim Carrey or whatever it is. Whoever they are, and this war and that war, and they're fighting, and these are fighting, and this struggle and that struggle. So Maharaj Yudhishthira says that the news in this world is the frying pan, this is the news. This whole world is a big frying pan, and the cook who makes sure that we are very nicely and evenly fried from all sides is Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. The time personified, he is there and he is kind of, you know, he's turning us away around so that we would be nicely and evenly fried. So, and when we are ready, he takes his spoon and, you know, that's it. So that's the news. You know, whatever news is there, it's basically this news. You know, whatever, whoever is fried and, you know, whoever is fighting, whatever war is there, whoever is the president, that's the news. That's the essence of all news. And then he says, Kimashcharyam, you know, hanyahani bhutani gachandiha yamalayam shashastavaram ichhanti. Kimashcharyam ataparam, you know. Everyone knows that this life is temporary. Everyone knows that sooner or later I will die. Shashastavaram ichhanti. Still everyone wants shashastavaram. Everyone is trying to hold for this material life. Everyone wants to grab it and just not want to let it go. Everyone is hoping that I will be permanent in this situation. Everyone is seeking for the permanence into the place where everything is temporary. You know, everyone is seeking for happiness because happiness means temporary. Oh, sorry. Happiness means permanent. Happiness, to be called happiness, it has to be permanent. You know, you cannot be happy in a ship which is goes through a storm, you know. If you are on a ship and everything is just, you know, is upside down and you're seasick, you know, you cannot be happy. And this world is this ship which is going through the stormy sea, you know. And you cannot be happy because everything is shaking, you know. There is no solid ground under your feet. Everything is shaking. So Maharaj Yudhishthira says, Shashastavaram ichanti, Kimashcharya mataparam. Everyone is hoping to be permanent in this world. And there is nothing more amazing than this. And then he says, of course, Tarko pratishta shrudayo vibhina, Rishidna sam yasyamatam nabhinam, Dharmasya tatvam vihitam guhayam, Mahajanaya nagata sapantaha. Then he actually changes the order, which is also very important, significant, because the third question was, who is happy? And the last question was, how to find the way? And he answers the third question last. He answers this question, who is happy in this world, last. And first he explains what is the path. And by explaining what is the path, you of course know, he first explains what is not the path. He said, by logic you cannot find the path. By logic there is no way for you to find the way in this material world. And Rishivna Savya Samatam Nabhinam, if you go to a philosopher, you know, philosophers will not be able to explain you what is the truth in this world. Philosophers can only bewilder you. You go to one philosopher and he says, this is, I think this is like this, and he thinks that this is like that, and the other one, Hegel, thinks that this is like that, and we really don't know what it is. But if you want to be bewildered, you ask me questions, and I will answer these questions. You know, this is Rishivna Savya Syamatam Nabhinam. Everyone has his opinion. Everyone. And there is no way to find a way by asking them questions. And then he says, Dharmasya Tatvam Vihitam Guhayam, that the truth of Dharma, the real form, because tatva means the real form of Dharma is hidden. Where in Guhaya? Guhaya means the cave. In the cave, in a very deep cave, what is this deep cave? Deep cave is the heart of a pure devotee. It's a deep heart. The real truth of Dharma, of religion, is hidden very much in a very deep place. And this deep place is the heart of a devotee. And therefore he says, Mahajanaya Nagata Sapantaha. If you want to find a way, you should just follow someone who knows the way. You should just find somebody who is great, who is really great, and follow him. And he says a very significant word here, Mahajan. And we know, of course, Mahajan means great person. But also Mahajan means, those who are from Indian background knows that Mahajan means what? Businessman. Mahajan means paisa. Mahajan means moneylender. Mahajan, like here, merchant. And Mahajanaya Nagata Sapantaha, there is a very deep other significance on this. Mahajanaya Nagata Sapantaha means that you have to follow the path of Mahajan, because Mahajan is the rich man. And Mahajan is somebody who can give you money to traverse this path. Because to traverse this path, you need to have some strength, or you need to have some resources. And Mahajan can give you these resources or strength to traverse this path. What is this resources which Mahajan can give you? What is the money which he can give you? The faith. What really Mahajanas can give you is they can instill the faith in your heart. Because to go out from this world, to cut the connection or to cut or to renounce the pleasures of this world, one has to have very strong faith. And therefore, Mahajanaya Nagatasapantaha, you have to get some money, some currency from someone who has it, strong faith. And then he says, of course, the last question is, who is happy in this world? And he gives, after giving such a highly philosophical answers to the three first questions, he gives a very simple answer to the fourth one. And seemingly simple answer, seemingly even naive and trivial answer to this question, who is happy? He says, panchameha nishaste. He says, when you had a, who is happy in this world? The happy one is who after very hard day of hard labor comes back home. Shashte, when the hard day of his labor is over, he comes back home. And he sits, and his wife comes to him, and his wife gives him little food to eat. And he eats little food, shakam. Shakam means little vegetables. So, you know, it doesn't make so much sense if you just take it literally. Because Maharaja Yudhishthira, especially, this is the last question. He gives the main importance to this question. And he answers this, and he gives such a strange answer, you know. This is the happiness. You know, you work hard, and then you come home, and you hate everything. And your wife gives you little vegetables and seeds, and she wants to speak with you, and you tell her, shut up, I want to read my newspaper. So, this is the picture which one can imagine by listening to this answer. You know, he gives this answer, you know, this is the happiness. Who is happy? Happy someone who comes home after, you know, heavy work. And he says, that someone who doesn't have any debts, and someone who doesn't have to travel in the foreign countries. Mm-hmm. So this is his explanation. And actually this explanation is up to this point of this comparison of the merchant who goes to the foreign country or to the forest, which is foreign to him, which is not really, does not really belong to him, to seek for happiness. The meaning, of course, of this verse or this answer of Maharaj Yudhishthira, that the happy one is someone who knows that after this heavy and difficult material life, I will go home. What is the home? Back home, back to Godhead. The happy one is one who has this guarantee, one who is really sure that after this heavy work, which we have to do here, and everyone has to do, no matter who he is, everyone will have to do this. But if one knows that after that I will go home, and why I go home, and there, you know, of course, I will have some little prasadam, Mahaprasadam is waiting for me there, back home, back to Godhead. And then he says, but one is happy who doesn't have any debts. And debts means, of course, karmic debts. Because we acquire so much debts by living in this world of karma. If someone is capable of paying off all his debts, in other words, if someone really cut off all the connections with this world, really is really clean from the debt of karma, is really doesn't have to come back because of this karma, and because of this debt, if he is capable of not traveling in the foreign lands, if he can really come back home, back to Godhead, this person is happy, and only he is happy, only he who knows that this is what is in store for me. And how he can pay all the debts? The Mahajan is there for that. Money lender. You can take money of faith, the currency of faith from Mahajan. To really, you know, renounce your entanglement in this material world. And if you do this, then you can consider yourself happy. This is what gives you solace and happiness to your heart. And if it's there, then you're really happy. Then you're done with all these problems in the material world. And then your life is useful and meaningful. So that's basically it. And Prabhupada, he is our Mahajan. He's Suvarna Vanik. He's from this background of Suvarna Vanik. Suvarna Vanik means money lenders, those who give gold. So he came to give us this gold, gold of real faith in the real goal of life, the pure goal of life, which is bhakti only. And if one has this currency, he will be able to pay off all the debts of his karma and go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much.
So Yudhisthira's last question is not so trivial.
No. No. He gave a very deep answer to this. Very deep. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.